Richie Neal of the beautiful First District in Massachusetts, where I happen to live and vote. I got to ask you, there is the question of the Mueller investigation and whether or not the appointment of a acting attorney general after the firing of Sessions has caught your eye to the point you'd like to give us some insights.
Well, it certainly has caught my attention, and I think that this investigation has gone on for a period of time, but generally with a special counsel, they do go on for a long period of time. But I also think that Bob Mueller's reputation precedes him. He is known for not only being judicious, but his integrity is unquestioned. So I think that he's been very methodical, and I think that, as you can see, that the individuals who have had knowledge that related to this investigation, they certainly have had their chance to appear before the counsel and the special prosecutor's office in front of the grand jury. So who knows what's been established so far, but I'm assuming that it won't be long now before we're going to start to get some initial reports.
But what if we never know? What if, you know, Mueller does what he's supposed to do, submits his report to the new acting attorney general, he puts it in a drawer, and we never know?
Well, I think that part of this will be made public. If you recall, during the special counsel years with Bill Clinton, when it seemed as though there was a new investigation every day, that the special counsel had to give that data over to Congress, and they did. And in fact, Republicans used that for the four counts that they offered in terms of indictment, which only, I think there were only two of the four passed in the House. I was against all four. And then it went to the United States Senate, where they served as the jury, and they found the president not guilty.
Well, I hope you're right. Special counsels are different than what we have now, right?
Oh, they are. Oh, by far. The special counsel is not limited in time or, for that matter, resources. And I think that a legitimate criticism of the special counsel law, which now dates back to the Reagan years, is that there are really no time constraints and that the special counsel moves along at their own pace. And the other thing that's important here is the whole term of accountability. And when the Assistant Attorney General last time was in charge of the special counsel, I think we could all be sure that there was accountability. Now, I think, given the introduction of the new Attorney General on an acting basis, we're going to have to pay closer attention.
What do you think it is that both the Republican Baker and Elizabeth Warren, the senator, won in landslides? What is it about our state, Massachusetts, that makes that kind of thing happen?
Well, I mean, I think that's pretty clear, and that is that it's the suburban independent voter who lives in the 495 Beltway. They tend not to be partisans in any meaningful manner. And when you consider that the state is comprised now of an electoral base of 10% of the voters are Republicans, 33% are Democrats, and I think about 55 to 56% of that vicinity, they are now independents. And they tend to live in that Beltway area that I've described. And they tend, I think, to be more motivated by what they determine to be how effectual somebody is as opposed to just their political leanings. And I think that they have demonstrated that not just in this recent election, but they found nothing inconsistent about voting for Ted Kennedy and Bill Weld on the same day as well.
Yeah.
But they are the ones now in the general election that drive the process. So I also think that I try to remind Democrats and others that they don't like excitable language. They like to be reassured. And I think that in the case of Governor Baker, that certainly was why he prevailed.
Let me ask you about the future of Social Security. Richie Neal is becoming more and more the champion of not letting Republicans put their, I want to use an adjective here, okay, grubby hands on our Social Security. Do you really think that they would dare?
Well, you know, it's an interesting thing because I'm glad you raised that question. In the years that I've been in the House, despite all their talk on the Republican side about privatization and you could do better by investing in Wall Street as opposed to treasuries and all of the arguments that they've made over the years, we've never had a vote in the House to substantially change the benefit of Social Security, nor will they be able to do that now that we're in the majority, and I intend to make sure that doesn't happen. One of the great parts of the genius of Social Security is the following. You can outlive an annuity. You cannot outlive Social Security. And you can build around Social Security, which is the better lesson here, meaning you keep the benefit, the bedrock guarantee of Social Security. But whether one has a defined pension or a defined benefit and some personal savings, that's really where we need to proceed in terms of the retirement plan for America. The American people have not saved enough for retirement. It's as simple as that. And, you know, people will say to me, as they did recently at an event, why don't you folks just raise the age? Well, when I say to them, we are already doing that by 1 month every year. So for most baby boomers, the optimal benefit now would be 66 rather than 65, and we're quickly headed towards 67. And I think that that's the way to plan. If we keep thinking that we're going to live longer, that means we're going to work longer. But the other nice part about Social Security is that in that month, you can bet on that check arriving. It's an earned benefit.
Now that you are going to be the chairman of the Ways and Means Committee, will that lessen your time being congressman for the rest of us?
No, I intend to make sure that doesn't happen. You know, we keep an office in Pittsfield, we keep an office in Springfield, and certainly in Washington as well. But I intend to be as visible as ever, and I couldn't have been any happier with the results from Berkshire County in the recent primary that I had. And I think that indicates that there's been considerable visibility and a presence. And I intend to do that even more assertively as we go into the next a period before the next round of elections, which will include a presidential cycle.
Now, I know that the Farm Bill is really, we only got a couple of minutes here, but the Farm Bill has really been quite contentious. And it revolves often around SNAP, giving our people who are kids and others some milk and some lunch. And the Republicans have been really quite difficult about that. I'm wondering what you intend to do.
Well, the Farm Bill used to be one of the easier parts of the legislative agenda. You know, the two champions in recent American history of the Farm Bill were Bob Dole and George McGovern. And they were the ones that came up with the notion of the school lunch program. They were the ones that came up with many nutrition programs. But it also worked on the following basis, and it was part of the system that I signed up for. And it was that farmers offered the produce that people in urban areas needed. And if that meant making sure that they could produce ample supplies of food, then Democrats who tended to live in urban areas and Republicans who tended to live in rural areas, they found the necessary common ground for advancing the initiative. It has been very successful. And the Farm Bill that the Republicans have put up is very partisan. And in fact, as you noted, it does cut benefits. And we're going to have to be very discerning, because that's a piece of legislation that has to be taken care of before Congress adjourns for the year.
Talk to me. We only have a minute, but Trump has been assailed for his views on nationalism versus, you know, one world. I'm wondering what you think.
Well, I think that certainly the president appeals to a very narrow or plurality of people who share that view in America. And I think that the idea that you're going to resist globalization in this arena that we currently live in, all you have to do is talk to your children or your grandchildren and examine the internet to see that that's not going to happen. And I also think that President Macron, over the weekend, I thought he offered a pretty good position, and that was that nationalism was in many ways inconsistent with patriotism. And I think that's accurate.
It's always wonderful to talk to our friend. And again, Richie Neal, congratulations on your coming assumption of the chairmanship of the Ways and Means Committee. Richie Neal is Massachusetts' first district representative. That's my district, in office since 1989. Richie, again, thanks for all you do for all of us.
Thank you, Alan. Happy to be with you.